Please open your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 2. As we begin this morning, I'd like for you just to note several parts of this text. Notice it begins in verse 12, I write. You'll find that also in verse 13, I write. In fact, in the middle of the verse, I have underlined in green the words I write. And then he writes into young men. At the end of the verse, he says, I write into your little children. So now we have these four times. He repeats, I write into you children, I write into you men, I write into you young men. And then he repeats it again, says, I write into you children, I write into you fathers, and I write into you young folks, young men. So we have two sections with three parts apiece. So that is the outline as we take a look at this text. Maybe I should point out just another thought. In this text, he says, I write into your little children. And then you find the word because. So he says, I write because. And he gives the reason for writing. He says, I write into you little children because, he says, your sins are forgiven. And you use that word because six times to go through each one of these six sections. Or can I say two sections repeating the three different groups. One of the things, just as we observe it to begin, is that there are different levels of spiritual maturity. There are those who are babes in Christ. There are those who are growing and are young men and women in Christ. We have those who are spiritual leaders. They're spiritual fathers in Christ. And really a good question for us to begin with and end with this morning. Where are you? Are you a babe? Are you a young person? Or are you a spiritual mature person in Christ? Let's take a look at the text word for word. John says, I, John, write unto you through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it begins by saying, little children. These are the first of the three classes mentioned twice, two sections. The word for children here is the word for newborn, baby, just very, very young. It is the word T-E-K, for those of you who write down notes, T-E-K-N-I-A. Very simple word. A very, very newborn babe. And that emphasizes relationship. It emphasizes a responsibility or dependence. And so that this one is dependent upon a spiritual older person. And so he writes unto them. Why does he use the word children? Because that's a wonderful expression to be a part of the family of God. You must be born into His family. You're born physically once into your physical family. You must be born again. John chapter 3. We are born once physically. We must be born again spiritually. Before we talk about children, I need to ask, are you one of these children? Have you been born again? John chapter 3. You must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven, to be able to go to be with the Lord. Tiknia is the word that's used here. And so have you had your sins forgiven you. Notice the text. The reason he writes into these newborns is because, again, that is the reason. He says, because your sins are forgiven you. I love this text. It reminds us that, beloved, our sins are forgiven. It's interesting. This is in the perfect tense in the original. He says, your sins have been and remain forgiven. And so, beloved, when you put your faith and your trust in Christ, He has forgiven you of your sins and they remain forgiven. Some of you may have come from a very difficult background and you may have had tremendous moral failure. Tremendous difficulties, maybe in drugs or drinking, whatever it is. Beloved, I want to assure you this morning, if you put your faith and trust in Christ and you've asked Him to forgive your sins, they are forgiven and will remain forgiven. Beloved, He doesn't bring them back to bug you. He doesn't bring them back to bother you. When they're under the blood, they are forgiven. Far as the east or from the west. Far as the deepest sea, He buries them. He looks for them and He cannot find them. Beloved, our sins are forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess agree with God. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, one of the greatest concepts of all the Bible is the fact that a holy God, a perfect, pure God, would forgive and forget our failure, our unholiness, our sins. The text says, I write unto you, the reason is because your sins, perfect tense, they have been and remain forgiven. I'm so glad that with this great problem of sin, there is a solution. The Bible tells us there's a remedy for sin. The text, notice the words in their text. For His name's sake. Here's the first reference to His name here in our text. What's the significance of believing on His name? Because in the Oriental mind, in the mind of the ancients, when you used a person's name, you spoke of all that he is and all that he can do for you. So if you went to someone's home and said, I have come in so-and-so's name, if it was a family member, if it was coming as an attorney or coming as an advocate, you would be able to gain entrance to his power. You'd be able to gain entrance to all that he has available as long as you came in someone's name that he knows. Beloved, we come to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus because that's his son. We come in his name because of what he's done on the cross. Beloved, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. John 1:29. The Lord Jesus walked down along beside the Sea of Galilee, where the river comes into the Sea of Galilee. And there he stood for just a few moments. And as he did, John the Baptist looked up and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It's the Lord Jesus. It's in his name. Amazing. It was Christ who satisfied the Father's demands for our sin. I love the way the Apostle Paul said it to the young man Timothy. He said that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Of whom I am chief. It's Christ Jesus. You see, the name Jesus means Savior. Beloved, have you had your sins forgiven? Are you a child of God? The text begins by saying it right into your little children. Born again ones. Those who are a new creature in Christ. And beloved, this is just the beginning. We're going to go on to maturity from there. But you've got to begin here with being saved. Surrendering your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name's sake. Number two. He says, I write unto you fathers. Here is an unusual word in Bible time for senior saints. He says, I write unto you. And the custom would be referring as a father to one who is in authority or responsibility. For instance, it was used for those who were spiritual leaders. We call patriarchs. They were the fathers of the nation of Israel, the past leaders. And so he's writing unto those who are in spiritual leadership. Now notice again, you find the word because. You'll find it six times. This will be our second time. He says, I'm writing to you who are spiritual leaders because you have known him that is from the beginning. You have known him, that is, from the beginning. Let me restate it. You've known him, that is, from the beginning. You could also read it like this. You've known him, that is, from the beginning. And so one emphasizes the longevity of knowing Christ. And it is wonderful. How long have you been saved? Have you been saved 1 year or 5 years, or 10 years, or 15 years, or how long have you been saved? When were you saved? Because you've known him that is from the beginning. The emphasis, I believe, is not so much how long you've known him, but you've known him that is from the beginning. This kind of takes us back to 1 John 1, where it says, That which was from the beginning, which you have heard, you've seen, and you've looked upon. And I believe it really takes us back to John 1. In John 1:1, we read these words. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Beloved, in the very beginning, even before that which we call time came into effect, Jesus Christ was there. One of the great texts that I enjoy so much is Colossians 1. In verse 15, he says, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" He says he's the firstborn in rank, not so much emphasis on time here, but rank of every creature. Verse 16, "For by him were all things created." That means the Lord Jesus was involved with creation. The Lord Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." It makes sense why he would say that. All right. So we've looked at two. One, children. And I'm writing to you, John says, because your sins have been and will stay forgiven. Number two, he says, I write unto you as fathers. Those of you who are spiritual leaders, because you've known him who is from the beginning. And possibly even if just you've known him from the beginning of time, that you've heard of him. Number three, now he says, I write unto you that are young men or young adults in your spiritual life. When you're young, you're settling your character. You're forming your habits. You're disciplining your inclinations. You're confirming your choices. So he says, I'm writing unto you in your youthfulness spiritually. Again, he says, because. He says, I'm writing to you because. Here's the reason I'm writing to you who are spiritually youthful. He says, because you have overcome. The word there, have, is in its perfect tense. You have been in conflict and won. You've been to battle and you've won. You've been to war and you've won. Beloved, no one goes to war certain of victory. Our text says spiritually, though, we can go to war and we can be certain of victory. Because you have, perfect tense, overcome the wicked one. Beloved, we are in a spiritual conflict. We're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual war. Beloved, have you experienced victory in your spiritual life? Last night when something came on the television that was not honoring the Christ, did you turn it off? When you're on your way to work on Friday and you were listening to the radio and music came on that you know the words were not honoring to Christ, did you turn it off? When you were standing at the water fountain and someone came up and started to tell you a dirty joke, did you walk away? As you were sitting there and your phone rang and you picked it up and someone called and passed on to you information that you know that should not be passed on because it's gossip, did you have it stop there? The Bible says, because you have overcome the wicked one. Beloved, there is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a song so often that says victory in Jesus and walk out and live defeated lives as a Christian. He says, because you have overcome the wicked one. John chapter 16, verse 33 says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Beloved, Christ was victorious and he has won our victory on the cross. When he cried out and said, it is finished, he drove the last blow to Satan's head. Genesis 3:15 says that Satan would crush the heel, but our Savior on the cross would crush the head of Satan. He dealt the death blow when he died on the cross and paid for your sins and for mine. Beloved, before he went to the cross, he prayed that he would be kept and that we would be kept from the evil one. And God the Father has answered the prayer. And that he was kept from the evil one, and we are to be kept from the evil one. Beloved, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is Romans 8, verse 37. Beloved, he has defeated our enemy, the devil. And because of that, we can have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, he spoiled the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly and triumphing over them. Colossians chapter 2. Beloved, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3. There is therefore now no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Beloved, he's faithful. And will with the temptation provide a way to escape. And so there's a way out. The way is victory as we turn our life over to Jesus Christ. It tells us He was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That is the word that's used here for the wicked one. He is the evil one. It's just another name for the devil. The Greek word here is the personification of all that's wrong, all that is wicked, the evil, in any of its abstract form. Beloved, He came to destroy. He came to give us victory over this evil one. And the text says, as a young man growing in Christ, you have victory over the enemy by a faith in Him. It's a wonderful text. I write unto you, young men, because, perfect tense, you have already victory over the evil and the wicked one. The second half of the text, he repeats, I write unto you, children, little children. Now, he uses a different word than that first word. The first Greek word I mentioned to you meant a newborn. This Greek word is the word P-A-I-D-I-A. It is the word that means an infant that has some months or possibly years on him. He is just beginning to walk. He's just beginning to crawl around. He's able to maybe hold a bottle with his own hands. And so he says, I'm writing into you. You're no longer just a babe. And he emphasizes the subordination, the connection with a father when he uses the word here. Again, six times he's going to use the word reason or because. I write unto you for this reason. He says, because you have known the Father. Now listen to me carefully, beloved. He's not talking about just having a mental ascend. He's writing to this toddler because he has an experiential relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the word that's used here. It's gnosko. He could have used one word, O-I-D-A, O-D-I. It's a Greek word that means to have contact or to come in a closeness to, but yet never experience any relationship. It's not an information that changes your life. Beloved, it is an absolute, complete transformation when you have the life of Christ living in you. It says, because you've known the Father. In His high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed, and this is life eternal, that they may know, experience the presence of God in your life, that they may know Thee, the only true God. Beloved, did you experience the presence of God in your life this week? Can you point to a day? Can you point to an hour? Can you point to a time that you literally just experienced God's presence in your heart? That's the emphasis here in this text. Paul wrote to the Corinthians with a broken heart, and he said, I cannot write unto you as spiritual, but as unto those who are carnal. You're as babes in Christ. Our exhortation this morning is to grow up. The Apostle Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Beloved, this week, did you see God's power? Did you experience God's power? One time this week, did you experience in your life the power of God? Beloved, He took His own Son, who was dead, in a grave, 3 days, and brought Him to life. Paul said that I might know Him experientially. The same power that took Jesus Christ from the dead and made Him alive. See that in my life. That means victory. That means a power to be a witness. That means power that when you're having a tough time, you still have joy in your heart. When you're going through days of discouragement, you still have peace, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. He says, because you have gnosko, because you have experienced God in your life. There's a little expression today. There's a book, there's a study guide called Experiencing God. That's exactly what he's talking about here. Experiencing God. And so he says, I write unto you, little children, because you experience God's presence in your life. Beloved, shut off the television, lay down the newspaper, open up God's Word and sit there and meditate on His Word and practice the presence of Christ in your life. You know, God has never promised to take us out of the warfare that we're in, but God has promised that in the warfare to give us a tremendous offensive and defensive power, practicing the presence of Christ. Second phase, second person he writes unto. He says, I write unto you, fathers, verse 14, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I know this is the second time that he mentions it. This is two times that he says that you've known him that is from the beginning. And so let me just quickly pass over it by mentioning, though, father also implies children. Father implies someone who is reproduced. And beloved, years ago as a new believer, I was given a little booklet by Dawson Troutman called Born to Reproduce. Beloved, spiritually, I realized that I was to bear children spiritually. I was to reproduce spiritually. And I remember as a young man, after receiving Christ, beginning to pray and beginning to give a tract and begin to witness to people, tell them what took place in my life, when a boy came along and said, I want what you've got in your life, and I opened up my New Testament and led him to Christ. On the same day, I had the joy of leading his brother. After I led him to Christ with tears in his eyes, he said, my brother needs this even worse than I did. And so he said, let's go talk to my brother. And we went to their home, and in their bedroom, I led him to Christ. Beloved, are you a spiritual parent? Recently, a young lady came in and shared with me the difficulties she was facing. I said, I don't know how a person can face these difficulties without knowing Christ. And then she began to cry, and she said, you know, that's my problem. And I led her to Christ. Beloved, are you a spiritual father? Have you led people to Jesus Christ? The word father implies one who is reproduced spiritually. Beloved, the answer to today's problems is not really even going to war with Iraq. It's really not a political solution. The answer is seeing people born again, seeing people saved, their lives changed, conformed to the image of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. In fact, he says, for in Christ have I begotten you. Have you given birth to anyone spiritually? You know what distinguishes a mature Christian? One, not that he comes to church. Not that he comes even Sunday night. And boy, the most mature person in our church would come on Wednesday night. No. It is the fact that you know experientially God in your life and you reproduce spiritually. A.W. Tozer wrote a book, In the Pursuit of God. He said these words, as we begin to focus on Him, he says, then there will be a new God consciousness that will seize upon us and we will begin to taste, we will begin to inwardly feel God's presence every moment of every day. For He becomes our life, our all, and all. The last group that he goes to, verse 14, says, I have written unto you the fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you, finally, young men, because. Remember, this is two groups. We've looked at the first set of three. Now we're looking at the second set of three. The first one was written unto you, children, because you've known experientially. And I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. And now he says, I'm writing unto young men. The first time he wrote unto the young men, he says in verse 13, because you have overcome the wicked one. The second time he writes unto the young men, he says, because you are strong. One, you're victorious. Two, you're strong. When I read those words, I was reminded of Joshua. Only thou be strong and very courageous. Deuteronomy 22 says, be strong and of good courage. And so we see the strength. Look up that word strong there. It means powerful energy. It means ability. Beloved, where do we get that strength? Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ. What kind of strength does he have? It's called omnipotent strength. Ability. Energy. How do we get that strength? Feeding on his word. Exercising our spiritual muscles. And so he says, one, because you're victorious. Two, because you're strong. Finally, number three, he says, because the word. Look down at your text. Last part of verse 14. Because the word of God abideth in you. He says, I write unto you because the word of God is fleshed out. Fleshed out. It abides in you. It has consumed you. It has controlled you. We talked about the word abiding in the past. How that we are to abide in Christ. We are branches connected to the vine. That is the word, John 15, for abiding. Beloved, we are connected to the word of God. And because being connected to the word of God, then we have fruit. Beloved, you must be in the word of God and God's word in you to be spiritually mature. Because the word of God consumes you. Because the word of God controls you. You're just fleshing out the word of God. I have to close. Our time is gone. So there you have a very basic outline. Let me ask you, where are you? Let me challenge you. Step it up a notch. If you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You need to be born again. You need to become a child, infant. God is real. He has revealed himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, who came to the earth and paid the price for your sins and mine. By faith alone, apart from works, we trust him. We take him as our Savior. We become one of God's children, part of the family of God. That's where you need to start. That's number one. Number two, if you're an infant, as a newborn babe, I'm going to ask you to step it up to the next notch and become a toddler. That's the second Greek word for a child, a toddler. Where you can do things on your own, handle some things on your own, eat a little bit on your own, take care of yourself a little bit, be a toddler. Number three, if that's where you are, I'm going to ask you to step up to be a young man. Where you can have victory, strength in your spiritual life. And if you're already there, I'm going to ask you to take it up a notch to maturity, where you're bearing fruit and fleshing out the presence of God in your life every day. Let's bow our heads.